Good morning. Merry Christmas. It's good to see so many people out this morning. Figured it could just be me and the band. It was hard to tell. Good on you. I'll just share a brief message with you this morning. Let's turn to Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Certainly, we've heard this passage once or twice this morning. It seems to be real popular around this time of year. The prophet is speaking. He says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Father, thank you for your word to us. And Father, thank you for your Son sent to us. I pray, Father, you'd help me to share your word with your people today in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a very popular passage, like I said, at Christmas time. Unto us a child is given. And I was pondering on that a little bit this week. And I don't know if you've ever wondered, I don't know, maybe I'm just weird, I wonder about things like this. What did Jesus think about all this? What did he think about his own advent, his own coming? I don't know. Maybe it's kind of a strange thing. If you happen to read in a red letter Bible, right, the red letters would be the words of Jesus, he doesn't really say anything until he's about 12 years old. The first time you're going to see his words, it's going to be in chapter 2, verse 49, Luke. And again, he's about 12 years old. And I want to paint the scene for you. Again, 12-year-old boy. Boys can be a little rambunctious sometimes. Mom and dad have taken him to Jerusalem for the annual Passover. And Passover is a big deal, right? And so they've taken him. And, well, somewhere in the midst of this whole shindig, they misplace him. I mean, they lost Jesus. It's a little bit comical. I mean, they had traveled a while before they realized they'd lost him, right? I mean, I've lost kids before, but I usually know within an hour or two. I don't get a long ways away. And I ponder a little bit on what, can you imagine their prayers? I mean, you have to say something to God, like you lost his son, right? It's like, sir, like we misplaced Jesus, if you could help us out a little bit, maybe point us just in the right direction or something. It would be 3 days before they find him. And for a parent, I imagine that was a fairly stressful 3 days. And when they do find him, they find him in the temple. And he's talking with the chief priests, and he's talking with the elders, and he's asking questions, and he's expressing answers to questions. In verse 49, after his parents simmer down just a bit, said, "Why have you made us crazy? We've been looking for you now for 3 days. Why have you done this to us?" And he answers them, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" Well, clearly the answer to that question is no, they didn't. If they'd known that, they would have went right to the temple. But they didn't. And if you read on into the next verse, it says just that. It says, "But they did not understand what he was saying to them." I want you to gather this idea that Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He knew the plan for his life. His parents weren't, they'd been told, but they didn't quite get it. But he knew. He understood. He knew he was supposed to be about his father's business at the ripe old age of 12. Now, if we stay looking at the red letters, the very next thing you're going to find is his temptation in the wilderness. And so I want to just skip over that because that's a personal thing that's happening with him. But the next thing he says in public, you're going to find in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And what's happened here now is he's gone to the synagogue, which is his custom, went to church, and the tradition is they would bring the scroll, and you would open the scroll and read. And so Jesus opens the scroll, and he finds, they've given him the scroll of Isaiah. He turns to chapter 61, and he reads verses 1 and 2. It says this, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Do you see how he just understands what his purpose is? This was written about me. This is what I've come to do. It's an amazing statement. Emmanuel, God with us. God has come to be with us. God was going to be with men. Now, you've all read what happened. Jesus, he did many miracles, a lot of miracles, a lot of dead got raised, all sorts of wonderful things like that. But if you really think about it, if Jesus was God with us, that really shouldn't have been a surprise, should it? I mean, we should expect people to get healed and dead people to be raised up. We should expect those. In fact, really, the odd thing for God to come and be with us, the odd thing would be if he didn't do any miracles. That would be the big surprise for me. I expect that. I mean, he is God with us. Now, he did miracles. In fact, the passage he read said that he was going to restore sight to the blind and he was going to set people free. But I want you to understand something about God. God's focus, God's business, in large part, wasn't about healing some sick people and raising a couple of dead. I mean, that wasn't the real focus. All good things, no doubt. I mean, it's good when these things happen. But I want you to understand something. He had come to forgive sin. That's why he came. The purpose wasn't to heal people. It was good, but the purpose was to forgive sin. That was his father's business. In fact, he hadn't just come to forgive, he came to remove sin completely. Make a way for sin to be removed from us. That was the reason he was sent. Now, if we continue in chapter 5, in verse 17, again, I just find this all interesting. It's just, to me, it's revealing. Verse 17 is the account of the paralytic man who was healed. And you all know the story. Jesus is, he's preaching, he's healing the sick, and the house that they're in has become overflowed. There's just too many people. And people are gathering around outside. People want to get in because they want to get healed. And these guys show up with their friend. And they can't get in. They want to get in, but they can't get in. And so they just make a hole in the roof, and they drop him down through the roof. If you've ever wondered, there's the passage that says, "The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent lay hold of it by force." That's the violent laying hold of the kingdom by force. They were not going to be denied. We are going to see Jesus. Anyway, Jesus sees their faith, and he looks at the man, and he says this. He says, Friend, your sins are forgiven. I have to tell you, I find that very odd. Why didn't you just say, take up your mat and walk, or be healed, or, I don't know, go in the peace of God or something. It's very unusual. He said, your sins are forgiven. And of course, the Pharisees were there, and that just made them nuts, right? The churchy people made them crazy. Who can forgive sin but God alone? Well, guess what, friends? They were right. Who can forgive sin but God alone? I don't know if you see what Jesus was doing here, what Emmanuel, God with us, is doing here. He's proclaiming his divinity. He's showing people who he is. Jesus is being about his Father's business, and the real business of his Father is forgiving sin. That's the business. Well, Jesus knows their thoughts, and in verse 22, Jesus answers the Pharisees, although they didn't say anything out loud, he answers them and says, why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? Now, I want you to understand the question that he's asking here. It's not about which one is easier for me to enunciate, which one takes less time for me to say, which one is going to use more air or more words. He's asking a statement about which is harder to perform. Is it harder to forgive sin, or is it harder to heal? Well, the truth is, for a man to forgive sin, it's not hard, it's impossible. It can't be done. He was making a statement, I have the authority and the power to forgive sin. And as a statement of it, then he says, get up and walk. And that's, of course, what he's going to say next. But I want you to know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And so he said to the paralyzed man, okay, now here's what I was expecting. I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And immediately he stood up in front of them, and he took what he'd been lying on, and he went home praising God. What I want to impart to you this morning, the piece I want you to go home with today, is that Jesus did a lot of really great miracles. He did a lot of really amazing stuff. But his purpose in coming, it wasn't to put on a good show. That wasn't why he came. He came to forgive sin, ultimately remove it. Throughout his public ministry, he would reach many people, and he would heal a number of sick, and he would raise some of the dead. But how many more were left unreached? How many more were not in the vicinity of Jerusalem, in the area of Israel even? How many more were not in a position to be able to receive the gift? And so it wasn't enough to just come and share a message or come and lay hands on people, or it had to go a step further. He would need to complete the work the Father had ultimately sent him to do, and that was to give his life on the cross. And that is something, friends, he did for you and for me. He did that on purpose for us. He went to the cross to bring forgiveness to all mankind, not just to those in the vicinity of Israel, but to every tribe and every tongue and every nation. This was the reason for his advent, the reason for Christmas. And he knew it. I think it's good for us if we can take a minute and try to separate all the things Jesus did, all the wonderful things he did, all the miracles and all the words of wisdom and all the wonderful things. If we can separate those in our mind just for a minute with the actual reason he was sent. He came and gave great words of wisdom. He came and healed many people. But he was sent so he could be forgiven. That was the purpose. For to us a child was born, to us a son was given. Again, he didn't come to put on a good show. That wasn't his purpose. He came to redeem us. See, sin had to be paid for. It had to be atoned for. There was a price that had to be paid. And Jesus was sent to us to pay that price. Through his death, a great grace was offered to all of us, the forgiveness of our sins. And I hope with that you can see the picture of Christmas coming full circle. The advent of Jesus, the coming of Christ, and the importance of God's Son entering the stream of flesh and blood can't be overstated. But you also have to understand that as important as it was for him to come, if he hadn't gone to the cross, the first would have been irrelevant. Wouldn't have mattered. What we find is the work that the Father gave him was completed at the cross. And so we celebrate his advent, his coming. There would be years that would transpire before he would head to the cross. But all of it was done for you and for me. He did that for us. God did that, gave his Son for us. Jesus, obeying the Father, gave his life for us. The greatest gift ever given. For unto us a Son was given. And because of the work of the cross, we are forgiven. Father, I bless your people today. I thank you for them, Lord. Father, thank you for salvation. Thank you, Father, for making a way for us that we, Lord Jesus, wouldn't die in our sin. And Father, thank you for all the other things that come with that, life and health. You gave us more than we ever had asked for. You gave us more than we ever needed, adoption into your house. Father, I bless your people today in Jesus' name. Thankful for them. Thankful for their salvation. I pray, Father, you would go before them. I pray, Father, that your blessing would rest on them. I pray, Father, your anointing would rest on them in Jesus' name. Amen.